This is a sermon for Palm Sunday. It's interesting because on Palm Sunday, the liturgy is extra long. In fact, you don't even have the Nicene Creed. We omit that because the story, the Passion, which serves as the gospel, takes forever. I'm not going to read that whole Passion right now. Because actually on Palm Sunday, there are two Gospels. There's the Gospel of the Passion that's read where the Gospel is normally read. But there's also a Gospel read in the procession, which if we start outside and you process with your palms, it's read just for that liturgy of moving from outside to inside. The procession into Jerusalem of the Messiah, of Jesus. And so I'm going to center in on that, and you can actually go in your Bibles, or actually there'll be an insert handed out as you come through on Sunday with the entire Passion written out in a very interesting way from the Message Bible. So let me begin with prayer, and then we're going to read the first gospel on Palm Sunday. Heavenly Father, be with us now. Just as you walked into Jerusalem, or I should say rode into Jerusalem, help us to walk and ride with you. Help us to know that because we're in time, we travel from moment to moment, hour to hour, day to day. But that we travel with you. So often in times, Lord, we want to meet you in places or in things or in events. But truly, you're a God that is timeless and yet meet us in time. So let our moments be moments filled with you, so that all of our life is experiencing you. Because then we really do have life. In the name of your Son we pray. Amen. This first gospel is from Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." You know, it seems like this process that we started called Lent was a long time ago. I mean, it's really been 5 weeks, but it seems more like a year to me. You know, I laugh sometimes now because I think that, well, let's put it on the line here. Most of us gave up church for at least part of Lent because obviously we don't have church in the way that we do. But that's really the question. Do we not have church, or do we just not have church in the way that we used to do it? You know, the reason why so many of the people in the day of Jesus missed that Jesus was the Messiah was because they had an expectation that the Messiah would come as this powerful leader, as this soldier that was going to come in like unto King David, and that he was going to overthrow the Romans and throw them out of Israel, and that he was going to reestablish Israel as the primary country in the world. And here Jesus, who is the Messiah, who comes with the sword of love, but not the sword of death, he catches them off guard. They didn't recognize him. They wanted him to be something that God never intended him to be. I wonder how many of us do that. I wonder how many of us sort of get caught off guard. On Ash Wednesday, I believe I said, religious people are people who are afraid of going to hell, and spiritual people are people who have been to hell. Well, I can't exactly say that being in New Smyrna, even during a pandemic, is hell. But I can say this, everything's changed. Absolutely everything. The way we interface with people, the suspicions that we have, the thoughts that we have. You know, for many of us, I believe that we've are trying to formulate, how can this be? What's going on? What's really behind this? Is there a conspiracy behind this? Or is it just that this is the nature of the beast of living life in a world that's broken? In a nature that doesn't work exactly the way God intended it when he created it? And that at times now, bad things happen, sometimes even to good people. How prepared are you for change? How much do you like change? Most of us hate change. Most of us like what we want. I mean, I'll be up front with you. You know, when the order came from the governor to shut down everything and then Volusia County shut down the beaches, I thought, oh, well, that'll be great. There'll be nobody sitting out there. I can take my bike out and ride it. And then all of a sudden I find out that if I ride my bike on the beach, I get a $472 fine for just riding my bike on the beach, which is public land, but now it's restricted. How often do you go to Publix and want to shop for something but can't find it now? And even when you do find the thing that you want, well, the price is a lot higher than it's ever been. They say there's no gouging, but son of a gun, how did it get so high? Yesterday, I got really irritated because you know what? Thursday's recycling day, and I put my recycling out at the street. It's still out there. They didn't come to get it. Waste Pro didn't come around yet. Things are all changing. But are we changing? You see, I believe that we're called to be in a process of being in transformation. Transformation of becoming more like Jesus in our everyday life. And as the world changes, if we're not in transformation, then to tell you the truth, we can't keep up with the change. But if we are in the process of transformation, then we can actually maybe even keep in the rhythm of the world about us that's broken, but keep in a rhythm that has us rise above it and can actually turn this stumbling into a dance. Jesus rode in on a donkey. Leaders in that day never came in on a donkey. They came in on horses. And they came in victorious. They met him with palms and garments that were thrown along a road. They met him, Hosanna in the highest. But I wonder what was going on in Jesus' mind at that time. I mean, he'd been doing ministry at this point for 3 years. He'd preached sermons. He'd raised people from the dead. He'd healed people. He walked on water. He changed water into wine. But what was going on in his mind at this point? It's always interesting for me to climb into the mind of Jesus. I never know if I'm right, but I know this, if he was fully human, what would have gotten into his mind was that here I am coming into it, because he knew what he was going into. He knew that he was going on towards death. He knew what was going to happen at this point. And so all of a sudden, if he knew that he was coming to the end of his earthly ministry before he was resurrected, I wonder if he was thinking, but there's so many people more that I have to touch. There's so many more people that I got to help. That's got to be a struggle for him. I mean, here is a man filled with compassion. Here he is, a man that is, yes, a God man, but he's so filled with love. Have you ever felt that kind of love? Where you just love and you said, can I do more? I'd venture to guess that you have. Every one of us have been in broken relationships where you think, can I just do a little bit more to make this work? And yet it doesn't seem to work. How many of us had a child that just wouldn't cooperate? Or an employee that just wouldn't do what you wanted them to? And you think, let me just try a little bit more. For some people, they just cut you off. But I don't believe that for a person of faith, you ever just cut somebody off. You might have to end certain things in a certain way, but it's an ending that's not really an ending. It just means it can't go on the way it's going. It's got to go in a different way. But to live in that place is very difficult, isn't it? I know when I get into that place, the problem that I have is I always think that I'm responsible for the outcome, for it turning out the way I want it to. And that responsible for burdens me in a powerful way. Because sometimes things just don't work out the way I want them to. Sometimes I can't manage it all the way. Heck, I can't even manage myself a lot of the time. But when I realize I'm not responsible for the outcome of other things, I'm simply responsible to moving towards that outcome, of doing the next right thing, then all of a sudden, that sense of responsibility doesn't become a burden, but it becomes an adventure. You can't stop this virus. You can't totally stay and follow every avenue that would not make you become contagious or the people that you live with not become contagious. But you can practice good principles. And you can be responsible to the best that you can. And you can wash your hands and remember to wash your hands and stay a safe distance. And to wear safety things like a mask if you feel like you might have something. You can't control the other people. You can't control how it all turns out. But you can be responsible to doing the best that you possibly can to make it move towards the outcome that you know is what God wants and really is what I believe probably in your heart of hearts, if you have love, you want. You see, there's a vast difference between responsible for and responsible to. They look a lot alike, but they're really dramatically different. Maybe you need time now to experience more of the grace of God than you've ever done before. To experience the grace of God and realize that that grace applies to you too. It doesn't just apply to other people. Realize that the love, peace, patience, kindness, which is the fruits of the Spirit, don't just apply to how you act in relationship to other people, but it's also in relationship on how do you act to yourself. To take a moment and just take a deep breath and say, I don't have to get it all done. I can use my time wisely, but I don't have to get everything done. I just have to do the next thing that I've got to do and keep moving forward. You know, the other day I was walking my dog. It's the one that I got about a little over a year ago, Jake, who I love. I mean, as I said a thousand times, I mean, he has the same personality as me. He's motivated by food. He's genuinely happy, but don't tell him what to do. And I was walking him, and as I was walking him down through the woods at the end of my street, right along Saxon, I came upon two people on bikes, a mom and a son. And the son was out in front. He was probably no more than 6 years old. And he was riding his bike, and when he saw me with Jake, who isn't always friendly and already started barking, the little boy jumped off his bike a good 20 feet away and said, oh my God, there's the dog, and he was all scared. And he got off his bike. The mom stopped for a second, looked and said, it's gonna be okay. And then she started riding her bike as I pulled the dog back and held it tight, past me. The little boy who didn't want to be left behind, who didn't get picked up by his mom, who didn't say, okay, it's, you know, let's go the other way or anything else, simply got on and said, oh, and you could tell he was still scared, but he got on his bike and he followed his mom in the way she rode by me. I thought to myself, isn't that great leadership? Isn't that great faith? Because here the mom didn't try and control the whole situation, but rather led the child through the situation that the child was frightened of. And the child hopefully learned the lesson. Even in the midst of our fears, we can have faith that can overpower it, and we can lead through if we follow the one that leads us. On Palm Sunday, Jesus Christ led his way in to Jerusalem, but he led a people that became believers. He led a people who are you and me. Let's follow his lead. He said, more than anything else, don't be afraid. As you go through this week, the most holy of weeks, know this, don't be afraid. Do the next right thing. You're responsible to, but not responsible for the outcome. But you're responsible to moving forward with joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Because that is your faith. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.